Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Calder. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And this is entitled, What is Godly Repentance? Because that is what is needed when you come to God. You come to God on His terms, His way. Now, we'll see this in just a little bit. Now, let's start by coming to Acts 2:36. Now, this was on the day of Pentecost when the church began. The very first powerful preaching by the apostles declaring that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, crucified, died in the grave 3 days and three nights, and raised from the dead by the power of the Father. And he was speaking to the very Jews at the temple, many of whom were right there with the judgment of Christ, saying, crucify him, crucify him, when he had done nothing wrong. So, Peter ends his long sermon this way. Therefore, let all the house of Israel, now you put your name there, see? Because it's for everyone, not just the house of Israel, know with full assurance that God has made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, what is Lord? Lord is the one that you love and obey. Christ is the Savior, the Messiah, the one to forgive your sins. And his sacrifice became the sin offering of the whole world by God. Now, after hearing this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent! Now, we'll talk about what is godly repentance. See, because godly repentance is not just, you feel sorry, oh, I did wrong, I apologize. That is not godly repentance. That is worldly repentance. So let's see how the Apostle Paul, we'll get back to the rest of this in Acts 2 in just a minute, but over here in 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, Paul talks about a problem where the whole church in Corinth was having difficulties in allowing immorality, sexual immorality of incest within the congregation, and told them, put that man out, and all of you got to repent. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 8, for if I caused you to sorrow by the epistle, I do not repent, even if I did regret it at first, because I see that epistle caused you to sorrow for only a short time. And I also rejoice, not because you were caused to sorrow, but because you sorrowed unto repentance. That's the key. And repentance is stop, turn around, go the other way. And the other way is God's way. Because you have been going your way, and your way is not God's way. For you sorrowed after a godly manner, so that you were not injured by us in any way. For sorrow unto repentance before God works out salvation. Now think of that. You want salvation? You want forgiveness? You want to be in right standing with God? Godly, deep, sorrowful repentance. But notice this, the sorrow of the world works out death because there is no forgiveness. Now come back here to Acts 2. So Peter said to them, repent and be baptized. Now baptism is a tremendous thing that you need to go through. It's not just showing an outward show of faith. We'll talk about baptism in a little bit, not in this segment. Each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, forgiveness of sins, putting them away, removing them far from you as the east is from the west. That's what godly repentance does. And you yourselves shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what repentance leads to, because every human being has a spirit of man, but they do not have the Spirit of God. So when there is true repentance and true baptism and laying on of hands to receive the Spirit of God, now then you are given that power of the Spirit of God to help you grow and change and overcome. Because Christianity is the way, as Jesus said, the truth. And that's how you now live your life, with the truth of the Word of God and the life leading to eternal life. And of course, that's what everyone wants. But the way it's given in failing Christianity of this world doesn't work. So now, what does it mean to really have godly repentance? Let's come to Isaiah 55. And know this, that when the apostles were first preaching the gospel, they were preaching it from the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament. So here's a good definition of what real repentance is. Now let's start here in verse 6. We saw in the last segment that if you seek God, God is seeking you. If you are sincere and repent, God will honor your seeking and will answer your call and begin to lead you. So verse 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Now that's quite a statement, isn't it? What does he mean by that? Because if you don't seek him in the right way, you're not going to find him. And there's going to come a time of calamity upon this earth, that there are going to be people crying out to God in a worldly repentance, and they won't find him. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way. See, your way of life versus the way of Jesus Christ that he wants you to live. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts. So God is not only concerned with action, but more importantly, with the thoughts. And if your mind is continually on sin, continually on the things that are contrary to the Word of God, you must repent of those. For he will abundantly pardon. And this is where men make their mistakes, because they think, if they come up with something good, that God must accept this because we think it's so nice. But those are the thoughts of men.
Works, first of all, if there's something you really want to believe, that's what you should question the most. I don't question bad news very much. I don't question things that go against what I believe very much. But boy, the stuff that I really want to believe, I really question a lot. I grew up as a Christian. And I suppose at some level I wanted to believe someone was watching over me. My friend, who I miss very much, Hitch, Christopher Hitchens, said that wanting there to be a God was like wanting to live in North Korea, to give away all your freedom. And for someone who loves freedom and loves people, I don't think you should hope for God at all.
Notice what he says here, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. Now notice what you are dealing with. Notice how fantastic God is. Notice what a wonderful thing is going to happen if you continue and repent and are baptized. you're going to understand heavenly things of God written in His Word, which you will never understand unless you repent and are baptized. Notice, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, think about that for a minute. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever heard of a man who was blameless in the letter of the law? And he was one of the most righteous men in the Bible. He did everything right in the letter. His name is Job. But, and most people don't know what his sin was, but I'll tell you what it was. He said that my righteousness is equal or greater than God, and that he wanted to have a court session where there would be an umpire to umpire between God and him to declare that Job really was righteous. His three friends who came to comfort him couldn't see his sin. But later Elihu came and he could see his sin because Job said, "My righteousness is greater than God's." So God came and spoke to him because he said, "I want God to speak to me." Well, God answered that. So God said, "Where were you when I created the heavens, created the earth, made everything that there was?" And he went through all of that. Now, let's come to Job, the 40th chapter, and let's see what happened to Job. Because just like it says in Isaiah 55, "Forsake your thoughts and forsake your ways." Well, Job really had a lot to forsake. So here in Job 40, now this is important because all of the goodness of any other man in the world never equaled the goodness of Job, and yet he was a sinner, a profound sinner, because he thought he was better than God. So, hello, all you atheists out there, you think you're better than God, you want a Job experience? Well, let me tell you, it's coming in the near future if you don't repent. So God did come and speak to Job. And God says, verse 2, "Shall he who contends with the Almighty instruct him?" Anybody going to tell God what to do? He's perfect. Are you perfect? No. He's spirit, your flesh. How are you going to tell God what to do? That was Job's sin. He who reproves God or corrects God, he was correcting God. Now think about that for a minute with some of these Christian religions in the world. They're correcting God, aren't they? By declaring, well, all these other religions have so much like us. Well, let's all get together and have a great, wonderful, worldwide religion. And it's coming. He who reproves God, let him answer it. But Job answered the Lord and said, "Behold, I am vile." Now that's deep repentance. "What shall I answer you? I will lay my hand on my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will not proceed further." So here's what Job said. Now this is to all the religionists out there in the world, and all of those who think they know everything, and all of those who have their own thoughts and thinking that they are as good as God or better. Here's God's answer to you. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Gird up your loins now like a man, and I will demand of you, and you declare to me." So God is demanding of you. "Will you even annul my judgments?" And isn't that what they do in worldly Christianity? They annul the commandments of God. They annul the judgments of God. The word of God stands forever. You understand that? You understand the abomination of those things that are practiced under the guise of being good, and that goodness is greater than God, because they think they have a better way? Well, all of that needs to be repented of. Will you condemn me so that you may be righteous? Every atheist, listen up. Every religionist, listen up. Every important man who thinks he's something, listen up, because this is God's message to you. Have you an arm like God, or can you thunder with a voice like him? Deck yourself now with majesty and excellency, and array yourself with glory and beauty. In other words, since you think you're so important, transform yourself into what I am like. You can't do it. Cast abroad the rage of your wrath, and behold everyone who is proud, and abase him. Look on everyone who is proud, and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together, and bind their faces in darkness. Then I will confess to you that your own right hand can save you. Think of that. Now, how did Job react to all of this? He became very repentant. He became very meek. He became very humble. And this is what every one of us need to do. Notice chapter 42 and verse 1. And Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no thought can be withheld from you. Therefore, verse 6, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Well, God blessed him for his repentance. Now, let's try this on for size. Let's come back to Isaiah 56. What should you start doing once you repent? What should you do? And that's why we have church at home. And that's why you've heard me say this so many, many times. Now, Isaiah 56 is a prophecy of our day. Isaiah 56, verse 1. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is near to come. That's the return of Christ. And my righteousness to be revealed. I want you to think about this for a minute. Because all of the churches of this world say, if you try and keep God's Sabbath, which he says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and they keep Sunday, which means they have forgotten it. They understand it, but they won't do it. And they think, if you keep the Sabbath, you're cursed. Notice what God says. Verse 2, blessed, not cursed, blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who lays hold on it, who keeps the Sabbath. That's the seventh day, Saturday today. Now, you've heard me how many times with the Sabbath challenge. You keep the Sabbath from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. Now, why do I say this, and how does this tie in with repentance? It's very simple. You want contact with God? You want God to forgive you? You want God to bless you? You want God to help you? Then you come to God his way, and here's how you come. Here is the second step after repentance. You start keeping the Sabbath. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who lays hold on it, who keeps the Sabbath from profaning it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. That sounds like complete repentance, doesn't it? Now then, let's come to Isaiah 66. That's quite a chapter here. This really tells us, because there are a lot of people out there trying to do good works of God. Oh, yes, we're going to be doing the works of God, and God is going to bless it. Listen, all that false Christianity in the world is of Satan, the devil, and another Christ. And all of those spiritual miracles taking place are from the power of Satan, the devil. All right? Here is what God looks to. What work will you do to impress God? Repentance. So God says this. Thus says the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where then is the house that you will build for me? And where is the place of my rest? Even if you build a beautiful building dedicated to God, God made everything that came to be so you could build it. So God says, for all these things my hand is made, and these things came to be, says the Lord. But to this one will I look, to the one who is of a poor and contrite spirit, not lifted up, not self-righteous, and that was the trouble of Job, was it not? Yes, an exalted spirit, and who trembles at my word, meaning you see that it is so righteous and good and holy that you would be fearful to break it deliberately. So he says concerning the sacrificial system, he who kills an ox as if he killed a man. He who sacrifices a lamb as if he broke a dog's neck. He who offers a grain offering as if he offered swine's blood. He who burns incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delights in their abominations. That's why Christ is the way. And God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. That's why there needs to be repentance. And all of this can be done at home. That's the whole purpose and beauty of church at home. You can stay at home and you can shut out the world and you can take time to study and pray and repent. Draw close to God. Know what He wants you to do and know the kind of salvation and blessing that God wants to give you and understand the plan of God. That is a fantastic thing indeed, the whole plan of God. Why did He make man? What is that all about? You need our book. From a speck of dust to a son of God, why were you born? Do you know? Well, God tells you. It's fantastic. It is so marvelous that it is mind-blowing, the greatness and magnitude of the plan of God for those who are truly His. So He says, if they want their ways, I will also choose their delusions. I will bring their fears upon them because when I called, no one answered. Now, what I'm reading here is a call from God already printed ahead of time so that those who are the teachers and preachers can preach it. This is a call from God. When I spoke, they did not hear, but they did evil before my eyes and chose that which I do not delight in. So repentance is repenting of your thoughts. Now then, what are you to think? You are to think according to the ways of God. So take this for another challenge. Go to Exodus 20 or Deuteronomy 5, either one. They both have the Ten Commandments. And start out with number 5. Honor your father and mother. Number 6, no murder. Number 7, no adultery. Number 8, do not steal. Number 9, no false witness or lying. And number 10, no lusting. Then go back to the first one, where God says, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now today, Egypt is a type of sin. So when you come out of this world to God through repentance, He's bringing you, because only He can bring you out of it, He's bringing you out of Egypt. So He says, you shall have no other gods before me. So stop and think. How many things do you have that are like gods to you? Is it what you own? Is it what you drive? Is it what you think? Is it what you build? And you look at that, oh, that's so great. that becomes your God, especially if it is an obsession. The next one is, you shall not make to yourself any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters under the earth, and you shall not bow down yourself to them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. People say, well, that's a sin to be jealous. No, it's jealous in this way. If you're worshiping a dumb idol and not God, and saying that that dumb idol does things for you, then you have your answer. And then he says, bringing the iniquity upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those that hate me, but giving mercy to those who love me and keep my commandments. Then the third one is, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, using God's name for your own purposes. And that's what it is with all of these fake religion in the world. You think there is fake media today. Well, fake religion is the worst thing and thousands of times more prevalent than fake media. They are the ones who are taking the name of God in vain. Then the fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. In it you shall not do any work, you, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your ox. There are the Ten Commandments, but see how important they are? See? The first six apply to other people, your relationship with them, but the first four apply to your relationship with God. And the Sabbath is the day that puts you in contact with God. So that ought to be a major part of your godly repentance. And then, if you're brand new, well then, study the book of Proverbs, because that will help you understand how God operates. And then read some of the Gospels. And then don't get into the difficult scriptures. We can cover all of those at some time down the road. So I hope that you will ask for our book, Lord, What Should I Do? Because this explains all about repentance and seeking God and what you need to do with your life. And this will be a life-changing book for you if you follow what God says that we have put in there that you need to do. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Colter saying, so long, everyone.